James for several years, I don't even know how long. I stay somewhere. Who knows, brother? It's been a while. It's been a long time. I know it's been over a year. It might have been 2 years for all I know. But Lord willing, we'll finish it up. Then I'll be taking a trip to Germany to preach in a couple of churches and in a family camp there where a lot of missionaries will be. And a couple of our missionaries will actually be there, the Spolstras. And Kirk and Bonnie King are going to come over to the camp. And then also, I'm thinking that I'm probably going to finish up the life of Moses in the next 2 weeks. So that'll be a good time to finish up. And then I'll be gone for 2 weeks. The first week I'm gone, Brother Billy Ingram will be preaching. That'll be the weekend of the college conference. So be in prayer about that. And then the next week, Brother Dave Hardy will be here preaching. So you guys won't even know I'm gone. And then we'll be back and preaching in the book of the Revelation and going on in the book of Joshua. The Bible says in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now, we've looked at those several verses in probably the last 4 or 5 weeks. And Lord willing, we're going to move to verse 15, where the Bible says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then go to 1 John chapter number 5, 1 John 5, and almost in the very same, it's amazing that in James 5:14 and in 1 John 5:14, here's what we read. The Bible says in 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." So keep your finger in both places, and I'll deal mostly in 1 John. We've been preaching about prayer and the aspects of prayer and the prayer of the sick and the praying over the sick and the prayer of faith. And we've been talking about this for about 6 weeks or so, 5 or 6 weeks. And I want to preach this morning, if I could, with God's help, and I hope He'll help me. And that is the prayer of faith. Father, we love You. We are very thankful for the Word of God, the book of James, the things that You have shown us from this great book. And Lord, as we have focused on the prayer life of God's people, praying over the sick and praying, Lord, for the different aspects and needs, we know that You were a man of prayer and You taught us to be people of prayer. And Lord, I believe it's probably the greatest asset that we have in the Christian life, but maybe be used less than anything else. Lord, we need to be people who spend time with You, asking You, praying, talking to You, giving You adoration, Lord, praising You, thanking You, and just talking to You in prayer. And Lord, I pray that we would look at a very important aspect today of this prayer of faith. And I believe it is found in our text this morning, according to Your will. God, so many times we pray according to our will and not according to the will of God. Lord, we understand that our prayer should be according to Your will, just like it was with Jesus Christ on the cross. He prayed according to the will of God. So I pray, Lord, we'd understand these truths this morning in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We have basically looked at the idea of praying for the last 4 or 5 weeks, the different aspects of it, what the text here tells us about it in James chapter 5. And we've kind of just been speaking about the idea that we know that Jesus Christ was one that was drawn to hurting people. And there are people all over the world that hurt. There are people that are going through things today that we don't even recognize. We don't even fathom. We say things, if only people knew. But here's what we do know. God knows. We may not know everything that people are going through, but we certainly know that God knows. And that's why that the Bible teaches us in the book of Luke that when Jesus Christ came upon his earthly ministry and he walked among people and he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He preached deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised. In other words, Jesus Christ came to help people. That's what he came to do. Now we know a little bit deeper that he came this. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. So you think about the Lord dealing with a lot of hurting people, and Jesus set the example, and James is talking about praying for the sick and praying for the hurting and praying for those that are afflicted. But then we come to this verse number 15, where James, after talking about, is there sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And our whole message was about that text and over these last few weeks, these texts. But here it says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Then he says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then he's going to give us the example of a man that was very fervent in prayer, and that man was Elijah, or as it says in the New Testament, Elias. So then, what this morning that I will deal with, God willing, is what is the prayer of faith that heals the sick? Well, I believe that the best commentary for the Bible is the Bible itself. Amen. Always. I mean, commentaries will lead you astray many times, but God's Word will not leave you astray. So I believe that if you would go to 1 John chapter 5, that John, like James, speaks about this idea of the prayer of faith. And here's what it says in these two verses. And really, we can put these two verses right in James chapter 5. But notice it says that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So what is the prayer of faith? And listen, I just want to look at three very small things that we find in this passage of Scripture that connect us to James chapter 5. You understand, James looks at it a little bit different, but John talks about it. And really where I'm going with this is the main thing about praying for the sick or praying for anything is this, that it's the will of God. That it is the will of God. Now let me give you an example. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says this. God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that people would die and go to a Christless hell. God knows that that men are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand this. The Bible is clear about this. Most people, you don't have to convince them that they're a sinner. I never had to be convinced I was a sinner. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I did not measure up to the standard of God. But I didn't know how to get from my sin to God, really. And God sent along somebody to preach the Bible, show me the truth from God's Word. And here's what I found, that God is not willing that any should perish. So I know this. I know that when I pray for somebody to be saved, that, my friend, is the will of God. I also want people to be healed. I want people that are having struggles and they say that they have silent prayer requests, or we know this specific need, or we know somebody that is sick and needs our prayer. And we've already looked at the idea that we should use the means, but it is not the healer. There is not a man that heals. If God chooses to heal somebody, it'll be because God does the healing, and it'll be because it was the will of God that it happened. But here's what God says. God says, I want you to talk to me. I want to hear from you. So first of all, we have confidence. That's what he says in verse number 14. The first thing is, he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in him. Amen. Our confidence is in him. Now, this is for sure. I'll get in trouble anyway. I think sometimes our prayers are frivolous. And I do not want to get anybody upset with me, but your sister's aunt's cousin Mary's from the third time's toe infection is something you need to pray about. Somebody say amen. I'm serious about this. I'm not minimizing any need. I will pray for the needs of people, but I'm telling you, you know where our prayer really should be focused on? Our prayers should be focused on the will of God. And you know that it is the will of God that not any should perish. People that are on the prayer list that need salvation, that's who we need to pray for. You know, when we pray for somebody to be saved, that we know that we're praying in the will of God. There is no doubt about it. When I pray for somebody, when I pray over somebody that's sick, I've told this story many times, but I went to a bedside one time. There was two different sisters that were at the bedside of their mother. I went to one on one day, and the sister said to me, "Could you pray that God would lift up my mother and heal her?" And I said, "Okay." And we did. We prayed over her mother, and we said, "Lord, if it be your will," or I didn't say that. I didn't pray that. I just said, "Lord, would you heal her? Would you do that?" That's what I said. The next day I came, and the other sister was there, and they said, "Preacher, could you pray that the Lord would just take my mother?" Okay, yesterday I was praying for healing. Today I'm praying that the Lord would take her. You know what we need to do is pray the Lord's will. That's what we need to pray in that matter. But here's what I do know. I do know it's the Lord's will that not any should perish. And so when I have people on my prayer list and they're not saved, they don't know the Lord, or somebody, I read in a missionary letter and they say, "Pray for these three people. The word of God is going forth and they need to be saved." Hey, listen, I want to pray for them to be saved. If you're here this morning and you're here this morning and you're not saved, you do not know Christ as your Savior, whether you realize it or not, people have prayed for you. Even though I don't know who your name is, I may not know you personally, but I pray, oh Lord, I know it's your will that people will be saved. I pray that they would hear the word of God, understand that they're a sinner, understand they're under the condemnation of God, understand without Christ there is no hope. That's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. We understand this because there are many people who are sitting here this morning who are at one time lost on their way to hell, and the Bible was preached, or somebody witnessed to them and showed them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way of salvation, that God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should perish. If any man is blind, it's because the God of this world hath blinded their eyes. Oh God, open their eyes to the truth that you love them, that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary to die for their sins, that if they'll repent and trust you as Savior, they too can be saved. God, I know that that's your will. You see, that's according to God's will. But I want you to understand, this is the confidence that we have in him. You know, the word confidence is an interesting word, and I know that you know that I love to study words from the Bible, but it has the idea, the word confident means bold. It means freedom of speech. And we find here that we can have the freedom of speech, that we can have the freedom to pray in the will of God. This is the confidence that we have in him. What is this confidence that we have in him? If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We have the freedom of speech. You know, that lines right up with Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16 that says this: "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy in time of need." God says this: you have freedom of speech to come to me.
Now, I think we all understand. Hopefully we do. If we don't, we could give a Baptist history lesson here that we would not have had the freedom of speech. We would not have had the freedom of religion. It's likely we would not have had the freedom to bear arms if those amendments had not have been attached to the Constitution of the United States. And the reason that those amendments were attached to the Constitution of the United States is because there were some Baptist preachers and some Baptist people in places like Virginia who said, we can't ratify the Constitution unless you give conscience of liberty to us. And because of that, listen, we don't have any state religions. We have freedom of speech. That means that we have the ability to come freely and worship here in this setting, and that the preacher can get up and say anything, preach what the Bible says, and we don't have any fear or favor with man. We don't have to worry about the government yet coming in and telling us what we can say and what we can't say. Everybody with me? Same idea in prayer. We can come to God. We can come boldly to God. We can come freely to God. We can come to the throne of grace boldly. And our confidence is in Him. And our confidence is such that we can boldly come to God. And if it's in His will, He'll hear us. We have boldness when we come before the throne of God. Now here's what we must understand this morning. You have to understand that prayer is not only a privilege, but it is a command. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I just was given this little book several weeks ago. It's called A Call to Prayer by J.C. Ryle. And I think it is just an amazing little book. And the very opening of it is men ought always to pray, Luke 18:1. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will that men everywhere pray. But then I just want to just tell you what he says. When you open up the book, he says this, I have a question to offer you. It's contained in three words. Do you pray? Do you pray? If men ought always to pray, Jesus said, I will that men everywhere do pray. And then of course, there's more than that. It's really a challenge, but the question is one that only you can answer. Do you pray? You have the freedom of speech. You know, like, okay, when we talk about freedom of speech, let me do it like this. Freedom of speech means that we have the ability to witness to people or talk to them about the Lord. We have the freedom to do that. I'll use Jeff Hastings as an example. He has some church members here. But I remember a couple of years ago, he called me on the phone. Those guys only call me when they need help or a question answer, not really. Called me on the phone and he said, you got to hear this. He said, we were out passing out tracts, talking to people about the Lord, and we left this door hanger on the door. And this guy is riled up. He is fired up. He's calling the city council. He's called the sheriff. He wants to arrest me. And I said, well, you probably need to be arrested, but whatever. No, listen. And this guy, this is going on and on and on. And this guy was livid that somebody left some religious material on his front door. Now, let me tell you this. If you walk up to a front door and it says, don't leave any religious material on my front door, then you have to, you know, you need to abide by that. But if there's nothing on the front door or anything like that, it's not illegal to leave a door hanger on the... Listen, if it was, Pizza Hut would be in trouble. Somebody say amen. So anyhow, he said, what do you think? I said, the guy don't have a leg to stand on. You live in America. Read the Constitution to him. Read the freedom of speech to him. So anyhow, he goes down to City Hall. Make a long story short, this guy was so mad. I mean, he was so incensed that somebody had knocked on his door to tell him about the Lord or leave him a flyer or a track or whatever it was. And he goes down to City Hall and he meets with his councilman. And this councilman, who was not anything to do with Christian or anything, he looked at the guy and said, hey, I've been knocking doors for the last 3 weeks to try to be reelected as the council member. He said, it's called the Constitution. He said, it's called freedom of speech. Everybody with me? Now think about this. We have the freedom to come boldly to the throne of grace and talk to God about anything. And when we talk to God about something and it's His will, He's going to hear us. Now, we may not always know the will of God, and that's why the Bible says praying in the Holy Ghost in Romans chapter 8, and that doesn't mean what the charismatics want us to think it means. It just means that we don't know everything. And we just say, God, you know my heart, you know my desire, you know my petition, you know what I want, but I need you to take my prayer, and I need the will of God, and Lord, I need you to work. Here, what's the deal about that? By the way, you understand, God doesn't need prayer, we need prayer. God wants us to talk to Him. God wants us to commune with Him. And as the little book says, do you pray? The question comes back, do you pray? Daniel opened up his window three times and prayed morning, noon, and night. But do you pray according to God's will? Or is every prayer that you do just nothing more than a list of things I want God to do? And if God doesn't do these things, then God don't hear my prayer. I am so sick of hearing that. God just doesn't hear me. You're praying selfishly. You're praying what you want. You're not praying what God wants necessarily. I'm telling you, according to John, we have confidence. We have freedom of speech. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. And I'm telling you, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And too many are becoming faint in their walk with Christ. And it means to be weak and carries the idea of being exhausted. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, put His finger on man's biggest prayer problems. And one of the reasons for failure in the Christian life is trying to labor for God outside of prayer. You go, well, I visit. I have a Sunday school class. I sing in the choir. I'm a deacon. I lead this. I do that. What good is all of that unless you pray? Prayer makes God a partner in our work. Jesus said this, without me, you can do nothing. My friend, if you do not have confidence in prayer, if you do not have confidence in prayer, then you will faint in the work. But we can have confidence. My Heavenly Father knows me. He knows me better than I do. He knows my uprising. He knows my down sitting. He knows my heart. He knows everything about me. But He still desires that I have freedom of speech and prayer, and I can come to Him boldly. And I'm telling you, though, there's this condition. Not only is there this idea that God gives us and says to us that there's confidence, but there's also the condition. Look at this. He says, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. You'll probably notice that the biggest little word in the English language is the word if. And God says it a lot. Surely God will answer prayer, but there are conditions that need to be met. One of the conditions is clearly set forth, and that is this: according to His will. Now, I know this. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. The first fundamental of prayer is that we must ask according to the will of God. However, before we can ask for His will, you know what you need to know? Is you need to know what His will is. How do you find the will of God? From the Word of God. You know, I'm just telling you, the question becomes so many times that we pray and we labor in prayer, but do we delight ourselves in the Lord, walking in fellowship with Him, committing thy way unto the Lord, trust in Him and He shall bring it to pass. Delight thyself in the Lord and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You see, a lot of times we need to understand that the condition of answered prayer is that we delight ourselves in the Lord, commit ourselves unto His ways, and when we do and His will is done, then we'll be okay with that. Because we must live according to the Word of God in order to even enjoy answered prayer. By the way, you understand that some of the sweetest prayer that are answered is those prayers that only you know, you don't tell anybody. You go to God the Father, you're in the closet, you're talking to God, you're asking for His will, you're delighting in Him, you're loving Him, you're saying, God, you know better than I do. Lord, I love you. I don't understand everything, but I trust you. I love you, Lord. I want confidence. I want boldness. I want freedom of speech. And then as God desires and as God's will, He'll give you even the desire of your heart. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing unto His sight. If we're walking according to the will of God and we're asking the right things of God, that is, if we are delighting in Him and asking those things that are pleasing to Him, you see, sometimes what's pleasing to God, what is pleasing to us, I should say, is not necessarily pleasing to God. And again, it's because His ways are certainly higher than our ways, that's for sure. But if we could pray, you know, I think about Luke chapter 22. If you don't mind just jumping over there, I know that I don't like to jump around a whole lot, but in Luke chapter 22, I want you to think about this. Luke chapter 22. Jesus Christ is headed to the cross of Calvary. He is headed to the cross of Calvary. There on the cross of Calvary, He will pay for the sin debts of all mankind. He'll pay for your sins. He'll pay for my sins. He paid for all sins of all mankind. He was about to break fellowship with the God of God His Father. Something that had never taken place before was broken fellowship with God the Father. He had had this. He had come He had come as a baby in Bethlehem. He had grown up. He understood where He was going. He understood what He came to do. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. But here is the bottom line in Luke chapter 22. And they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane after meeting in the upper room. Verse 39, and He came out and went, and as He was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Now listen to this. Here's what He prayed in verse 42. Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Do you understand that Jesus Christ was in the greatest time of agony as He was making His way to Calvary? And He said, Lord, if it be Thy will, remove this cup. You know, it's all right to ask God to remove something or to do something. I think about the Apostle Paul and the great missionary work that he did. But we know according to the Bible that he had this thorn in the flesh, and we could surmise to what that might be, and that's not the point. But the point is he came to the Lord and he said, Lord, three times he prayed, Lord, if it be Thy will, take this from me. And remember what God said? He said, it's not my will to take it from you. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what he said to Jesus Christ, the Son of God? The Son of God, our Savior, when He said, Lord, if it be Thy will, take this cup from me. Then Jesus Christ said this, but not my will, Lord, Thy will be done. Now we can look back, and these are not just words, but it was the will of God that this cup not pass from Him. It was the will of God that He go to the cross of Calvary. It was the will of God that He die for the sins of all mankind. It was the will of God that he shed His blood for you and I, that we might be saved. Hey, listen, it is the will of God that everybody be saved, but people can't be saved unless there was that sacrifice. So what I'm saying is, if the Son of God headed on His way to Calvary could say, not my will, but Thy will be done, surely we can follow the example and seek those things that fall within the boundaries of God's will. Do we always understand God's will? No, because Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He asked the question, why? Sometimes people say, well, you can't ask why. You can ask why as long as you trust God in the why. Then I want you to see the third thing. I want you to see back in our text, back in 1 John chapter 4. So we see that there is the confidence that we have in Him. We certainly understand not only is there the confidence in Him, but there is also the condition, the will of God. But then I want you to notice with me, and if we know that He hear us, verse 15, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desired of Him. You know what we need? Is we need to have what I would just call the courage to pray. Pray. When you've done everything, pray. When you've done all that you think you can do, pray, because that's what you should have done in the first place. The first thing that you should do is pray. The last thing that you should do is pray. I believe that I'm telling you, before you ever meet the world in the morning, you should meet with God in prayer. And I'm not talking about you have to pray for an hour, but you need to spend time with God. You need to talk to God. And when you're slipping out into the world at the end of the night, pray. When you've got sick people in your family, pray. When there's people that are afflicted around you, pray. In the will of God. When people need to be saved, pray. You know, every church service, many times there's people that say, they hear the message, they hear the word of God. I could preach a 4-series message on the seed. I have before. And Jesus talked about the parable of the sower. When the sower goes forth to sow the seed, he casts the seed. And that's what we do every time we have a church service, where it's Sunday school or church. The word, the Bible says that the seed is the word of God and it's cast forth. Every time the Bible is preached, the seed goes forth. And then every time the seed goes forth, certain things happen. Sometimes the devil comes and steals away the word that was spoken. Sometimes people got the cares of the world. You've not heard a word I've said. You've not heard what the Bible says. You're thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch. What are you going to do for tomorrow afternoon? What you're going to do on vacation? I don't know. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That there are many times that the cares of this world choke out the word. And then there's people's hearts that are hard as a rock. Actually, they're like the seed that got over off on the path and not in the soil, and it got on the path, and they call that the wayside or the hard soil, and it just sits up there on top, and when the sun beats down, it's gone. But the reason that we preach is because sometimes people hear and they take it in, and it goes down into their heart, and they become convicted about their sins, or they become convicted about their prayer life, or they become convicted about their selfishness and their pride and not praying in the will of God, and it's all about them. And prayer is nothing but a list that I pull out and say, God, I want this, 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 and this. And if God don't do it exactly the way you say, you get mad and say, God doesn't listen to me, or God doesn't answer prayer, when we certainly see that prayer needs to be according to the will of God. But then we say, oh, God is not willing that any should perish. So we do know that the greatest prayer is the prayer for people to be saved. And we name their names and we go to the closet and we say, God, save this person. They're on their way to hell. They're going to die and go to hell. They're in their sins. And now they've heard the gospel. They've heard the way of salvation. Lord, save them. And then somebody will come and get saved. That's the greatest prayer that's answered. Not whether your aunt recovers from her disease. And I'm not minimizing your aunt's disease. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying a lot of times our prayers are not in the will of God. And all prayers need to be according to the will of God. Why? Because we can trust Him. We can come with freedom of speech boldly to the throne of grace. We can delight ourselves in the Lord. So God didn't answer it the way you thought. Can you still delight yourself in the Lord? If God didn't do it exactly the way you thought, can you still praise Him and delight yourself in Him? Are you with me this morning? Can you still pray for people to be saved? Because God's not willing that any should perish. If you're here this morning and you're without Christ, God wants to save you. Amen. He loves you. Right. His Son went to that cross, and even He struggled as He was on His way. He struggled. Lord, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. It is the Lord's will, so that you could be saved, so that I could be saved. Oh, listen, we have confidence. Oh, unfortunately, not unfortunately, I shouldn't have said that. we do have to pray in the will, for God's will. Because after all, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about Him. Let's all stand this morning, every head bowed. Let me say it like this, if I could. Walking in the will of God will build your prayer life and your faith as God answers your prayers. And He will answer your prayers. I have seen God answer so many prayers in my life. And sometimes, some things I prayed for, sometimes I prayed selfishly. But I realize that all prayers must be done in the will of God. And I'll tell you this morning, the question becomes this: do you pray? We know that men ought always to pray. We know that. We know that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that are desired of Him. Listen, we know it's not God's will that any should perish. Are you here this morning without Christ? Our church would not be doing what it's supposed to do if we prayed for everything outside of people being saved. We would not be in the will of God. There's no doubt about it. Our first prayer, knowing the will of God, is that people would come to know Christ as their Savior. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't know where you're at. I don't know your need. I do know that there are people that are afflicted. I know there are people that are sick. I know all of that. I understand all that. But I know everywhere there's people without Christ on their way to hell. They believe the lie of the devil. They're blind. Their minds have been blinded to the truth of God's Word. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. God loves you. God loves you. God wants to save you. But you can't come to Him on your terms. You have to come to God on His terms. And that's seeing yourself as a sinner, willing to turn away, willing to turn from yourself and turn from your religion and turn from your sin and turn to God and trust Him. And when you do, He is not willing that you should perish. He'll save you right here today. Where are you at today? Where are you at? Is your prayer life, do you have a prayer life? Do you pray? And if you do pray, how do you pray? Do you pray selfishly or do you pray according to the will of God? Father, we love You so very much. Thank You for the Bible, the truths that contained within it, the book of James, and our challenge to pray for people, pray for afflicted. We find out that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand that in the next message as we look at it. But I also pray that we would understand the condition of prayer is the will of God. And sometimes we just leave that out. We just leave that completely out. Lord, help us to delight in You. Help us to love You. Help us to serve You. And Lord, help us just to worship You in spirit and in truth, Lord. I pray that if we would worship You, I know that if we'll worship You correctly, that we'll pray correctly. And our prayer will be according to Thy will. And then at the same time, Lord, we know that You don't want anybody to perish, but that you want all to come to repentance. So I pray this morning for that precious soul that's without Christ. I pray that they would be willing to humble themselves before Almighty God and come and be saved before it's too late. Lord, we'll thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Brother Brian's going to lead us in 596. If you want to sing that with us, Brian, you sing that and we'll sing along with you. How long has it been? If you need to come, you're here this morning and you just don't know how to pray or you just don't know what to pray, you come, let us help you. We will. We'll be glad. My wife is right here. We have other workers. I'll pray with you. We've got other people that can help. Whatever your need is, would you do business with God and be serious about it this morning as we sing.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart?
What have you been praying for?
Since you pray,
is God speaking to your heart in any way?
Is your heart hard? Is your
heart so hard that you can't hear? Are the cares of the world trying to choke it out?